If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTradio.live. Using science to debunk myths, from the pandemic to climate fraud. Thanks for listening to Sky Dragon Slaying on TNT Radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Sky Dragon Slaying, where we bring you the truth on science and current affairs, the mainstream with rather you didn't know. I'm John O'Sullivan, CEO of Principia Scientific International. Joining me as usual is Texan engineer extraordinaire Joe Olson and Canadian space scientist Joe Posma. Today, in the first hour of the show, we're focused on discussing the issue of over-vaccination as contrasted with the idea of opposing vaccination per se. Helping us do a deep dive on the subject is a respected activist from Australia, Elizabeth Hart. Elizabeth has been challenging the increasing number of questionable vaccines and repeat vaccinations being foisted upon children, adults and animals by the burgeoning and unfettered vaccine industry. Elizabeth, you've been in the game for very many years. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm good, John. Thanks very much for inviting me.
Yes, real pleasure. Let's just clarify for our listeners, you're not actually anti-vaccine, are you? You're prepared to take the jab here and there. You're prepared to go along with it, but you're not prepared to vaccinate over the top unnecessarily. Can you clarify what that means for us?
Well, my position now is probably a bit more complicated. I started off, as you mentioned, investigating vaccination of pets when one of my dogs became very ill after a vaccine, and I found out they were over-vaccinating the pets. But I started this back in 2008, but this has brought me down quite a very long rabbit hole. And what it's really bringing to light now is that we really need to look at the vaccination schedules. They are huge. There's so many vaccines on the schedule, and we need to look at these because there are lots of conflicts of interest. They're products, and they've been given to mass populations. And I'm very concerned about it. You know, look at children. They're getting over 50 doses of vaccines now via multi-component shots and single shots. We need to look at this. And now with COVID happening, it's gone completely insane.
Yeah. So how would you say that? How would you characterize your opinion changing because of the COVID pandemic? Have you really found that there's been an increase in vaccine skepticism?
Yes, I think there is an increase in skepticism. But in Australia is a very, very pro-vaccine country. And I think this has been in preparation for some years, that the population has been set up to be very, very pro-vaccine. You're familiar with the No Jab, No Pay law, which was put in place in 2016. And that's a sort of coercive vaccination law for children to make parents adhere to the vaccination schedule. Now, most people would be supportive of vaccines for children, you know, prevent disease and what have you. But I'm thinking we really need to look at this because of the number of vaccines. And now COVID has brought this into high relief because so many of us know that COVID was not a problem for most people. Why did we end up with a mass population vaccine response to a disease which it was known wasn't a problem for most people, and particularly children? For children, COVID is not an issue, and yet children are being jabbed. And you'll have heard in news, you know, coming out of the US that the ACIP has approved the vaccines for children, these jabs, I should call them. This is just insane. Why are children who are not at risk being you know, going to be set up to have these injections?
Yeah, good point. One of the things I want to put to you is you sent us some very interesting information by email, and you're talking about a new manufacturing plant in Australia. And Moderna chief Stefan Bansell says, our vision is quite simple. It's to develop an annual respiratory virus booster that has COVID, flu, RSV, and a couple more virus added it. So what we're doing really is we're getting all these adjuvants. Now, on previous shows, we talked about the problem with adjuvants, and some of these adjuvants include things like aluminum, things that you don't really want in your body. I think mercury has even been mentioned, and formaldehyde. These are things that a lot of us would be rather, you know, wary of anyway. So do you think it's partly to do with the adjuvants themselves or something else?
Well, I don't know what adjuvants will be in these vaccines that Stefan Bansell is talking about. I mean, this is a huge subject. To try and be across all this stuff is an enormous task. But since you have brought up aluminium, that is a big area for me that of concern for me, because aluminium adjuvants are in a lot of the vaccines that children are getting. And I started questioning this from investigating pet vaccination. There were experts in pet vaccination who were raising the alarm about the aluminium in these injections, because it's there to create an inflammatory response. So straight away, that sort of sets up alarm bells. You know, what's happening with that? And I've raised this issue. It's a bit complicated. I'll just quickly touch on it. But Cochrane, who I suppose you're familiar with, the Cochrane collaboration, mm-hmm. A person who was associated with that, Tom Jefferson, he and some other authors put out a review in 2004, which basically supported the safety of aluminium in injections. But I read beyond the abstract, because this paper was behind the paywall of the Lancet Infectious Diseases. I read beyond the abstract, and when I read the paper, it said that the data they were looking at was based on, was of low methodological quality. But in this review, they've come up and said they couldn't see any evidence of safety problems with aluminium. But at the same time, they're admitting that the data they looked at was poor quality. So what they should have said is that there should be further research in this area. And what they did say is there shouldn't be any more research in this area, which was just a bizarre thing to say. Now, this is 2004. And since then, there have been a lot more aluminium adjuvanted vaccines added to the schedule. Very controversially, HPV vaccination, that has an aluminium adjuvant. And, of course, a lot of people probably would support HPV vaccination, but if they looked into it, they'll find there are a lot of similarities with HPV vaccination and COVID, in that this is an injection that has been given to mass populations of people who may never have been at serious risk of disease. This is what we need to stir the pot on now, to look at these injections that are on the schedule and just look at how serious were these diseases? How was it approved to put them on the schedule? And I know from my experience, because I've been investigating this now for 14 years, we had to really fight to get transparency on this. You know, I wrote to Nicola Roxon, who was the health minister in 2012, asking who are the people on these committees? Because it wasn't open knowledge, it wasn't transparent. Had to fight for that information. Finally, we got names. Then in 2015, I wrote to the Australian Prime Minister at the time, Tony Abbott, saying, have these people got any conflicts of interest? And there are a number of committees, but I did get a letter back that indicated ATAGI, the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation, which was going to, it indicated it was, they were going to provide some information on conflicts of interest for that group. And eventually they did. It's not enough information, but it was enough to show that people influencing policy are associated with the vaccine industry, say via vaccine trials and participating in conferences and what have you. So this is an area that needs to be subject to investigation. But the major issue that we have that you'll be very aware of is we have no mainstream media to look at this. Mm. It has been suffocated. The ABC in Australia, the taxpayer-funded ABC, is a propaganda machine for government in promoting these vaccine products. And we're relying on TNT radio and other sources, you know, other alternative sources to break the lid on, or to open the lid on this. People like Graham Hood on Facebook, you know, who will have open interviews with people, because we're being suppressed from discussing taxpayer-funded vaccination policy.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. And just to kind of circle back a little bit, the idea of aluminium, for American friends, aluminium. Now, we published quite a few articles on Principia Scientific about the dangers of aluminium in vaccines. And one particular study we posted on April 25th, 2021, well over a year ago, was showing that by Christopher Exley, PhD, he found in his study that the aluminium exposure is a definite cause of Alzheimer's. And that the concern is that the epidemic, the rise in Alzheimer's in the older population is again linked to the rise in use of vaccinations. And, as you said, there's not enough investigations being done into these kind of claims. And there's lip service paid to safety. And our good friend over in America, Robert Kennedy Jr., he's been very, very good in his legal work in exposing this fact that the CDC and so forth, they at the FDA have not been performing adequate safety checks and tests on vaccines for over 30 years. Joe Olson, you know, can we bring you into the conversation? Because you've been doing a lot of research on this yourself, haven't you?
Oh, yes. And I just got an email from Elizabeth Hart with this orange flag warning. Be careful of this message. Elizabeth Hart has never sent you a message from this email before. And I get probably 50 or 100 emails a day for the last 20 years. And I've never gotten an orange flag warning from anybody. So apparently somebody at Google on my Gmail account has got a target on you. Yeah, as far as... Yeah, you are dangerous, which is why we love talking to you. As far as adjuvants, you have trimerosal, which includes mercury, higher levels than you're allowed in a can of tuna. PGE, which is polyethylene glycol, which is when you put it in your car, it's called antifreeze. Then we have squalene, which is shark liver oil, which, you know, may have some benefit. Your body produces a little bit of it, but you don't need an overdose of it. SM-102. Which is another adjuvant. It's actually a ionizable lipid. And then you have magnetic hydrogels that they're putting in the new bag. These people are witch doctors that have been sitting around stirring up as much garbage as they can since the Flexner Report in 2010. And they are hell-bent on injecting us absolutely forever. And the thing that's shocking even more than the fact that the CDC unanimously approved jabs for little children is that they want that to be an annual jab. So when they approve it, it's 18 years of jabs, along with the 72 that it now takes in order to get into kindergarten.
Yeah. And they're saying that they're putting it on the children's schedule because it's going to give protection to the manufacturers. Gosh, it's just so grim. But, you know, you were talking about Christopher Exley then. And, you know, I said previously about that review had said it recommended no more research in the area. Well, when that review was published, Christopher Exley wrote to the Lancet Infectious Diseases and he said the same thing I've said to you. How could you come up with this conclusion when the data is of so low quality? He wrote a letter to the Lancet Infectious Diseases in 2004 and he followed up with another letter in 2006. Now, Christopher Exley, as you're probably aware, he was at Keele University. They've shut him down, really. They suppressed him. I think he was pushed out of Keele University. So this is what they're doing. They're just shutting down the research in this area when it should be being investigated. It's really frightening what's going on. You know, and I mentioned that this review was associated with the Cochrane collaboration. They're supposed to have promised to be looking at giving a systematic reviews that's reviewing data that could be dodgy, you know, manufacturer's data. And I actually challenged Cochrane about this review. And it's quite complicated in that it was published in the Lancet Infectious Diseases, but it had this notice on it that the authors were connected with Cochrane. So that gave it the imprimatur of Cochrane by having that on there. But at the same time, the Cochrane collaboration backed away from being associated with this paper. But it's complicated in that this paper, this review, has been influential on policy. It's certainly been influential on policy in Australia because it cited in Australian government health information to support the safety of aluminium and vaccines. And yet the review is of very poor quality. And this is the sort of, this is what we've got to look at, all these journal papers, you know, the journal industry, which is supporting all this sort of stuff, that it's so much, there's so much conflicts everywhere. And that this is a whole can of worms that has to be opened up now, that now I have doubts about so many vaccine products because to look at what's backing them is that's what we've got to look into.
Yeah, you're right, and it's a fair point to make that governments are letting us down here. The FDA in the US and CDC in the UK, we have the National Health Service. Australia, you get your own variation of that. What we're finding is the true whistleblowers here are those organisations and those industries not directly linked to the health industry. For example, the American insurance industry, in America, they are helping blow the whistle because they're reporting a 200% increase in diagnosed dementia and Alzheimer's among young adults. While in the UK, researchers over in the UK, they're seeing a 20-year dementia trend similar to the US. And, you know, it's definitely showing up. And we also had on the show, a few months ago, John O'Looney, an undertaker from the UK. Again, undertakers, people who work in that industry, they're seeing, you know, horrendous results when they're opening up dead bodies and they're trying to drain the blood, and they're saying it's taking twice as long to drain blood out of corpses as usual. And they're saying there's a strange white substance that's being shown in their veins. And this is concerning, because each time it's raised, you don't get any reaction from government. The authorities just don't want to know, do they?
Well, the authorities are amazing. All the misinformation, I'd say, is coming out of these authorities. We've got the situation in America where somebody like Anthony Fauci has been sitting in that position since the mid-80s. That is just insane, to have somebody sitting in that position all that length of time. That means that we haven't had fresh eyes looking at things. You know, this whole thing has just been allowed to get out of control under that guy. You know, he was responsible for the funding gain-of-function research. Not just we're talking about Wuhan, but also it emerged in 2011, 2012, that the NIH was funding research into making H5N1 more transmissible. Mm. You know, that is insane. When I heard about that at the time, I wrote a letter to the investigative committee saying, is this contravening the Biological Weapons Convention? So we've just got these people running amok in government. These governments now, it seems to me, this COVID thing has just been the most shocking experience. It has completely turned my whole view of things upside down, thinking we were living in liberal democracies. We're not. Governments are not accountable. I write so many letters to people trying to get facts out of them, to get them acknowledge things. They just basically ignore you or brush you off with form letters. These governments are not acting in our best interests. They seem to have been taken over by cuckoos and are responding to the views of people who've got vested interests. They're not working for us. And the fact that we've got no mainstream media to shine a light in dark corners, the fourth estate, we haven't got that. We're fighting for oxygen on this matter. I'm subscribed to the Murdoch Media in Australia with the Australian newspaper. And I try and leave comments on articles. Most of my comments are censored. How many other people's comments are censored? It means we haven't got a forum for the people. We're just shut out of the conversation.
Yeah, Elizabeth, you're spouting facts there. We like to hear that. We're going to take a short break now. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jason Olborn.
The World Health Organization, being short of a headline, has another one today because they have warned of a COVID surge. Huh, why not? Infection cases appear to be spreading in Europe. The UN Health Agency warns Europe is likely to be entering yet another wave of COVID-19. The World Health Organization and the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control have said, urging the region to act immediately. What, after 3 years? And what are we up to? Vaccine number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How high can you count? And, well, it's still going. Of course it is, because, mate, the vaccine doesn't work. And maybe what you need to do is get your heads out of the sand and into some other therapeutics. And as we've learnt this week out of New South Wales Health Statistics and the wonderful ARC Medic Substack doctor who's done the research, if you have 4 vaccines in New South Wales as opposed to 0, you are now at a negative 147% efficacy. That's right, you're actually going backwards the more you have, and 4 vaccines is worse than 3, even though they're going to tell you the opposite. And if I said this on YouTube or Facebook, I'd pretty much be hung and quartered in the digital world by Zuckerberg and the Google clowns.
Jason Olborn and Jason Q. Citizen on TNT Radio.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided, rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back with us, Elizabeth Hart. We're talking about over-vaccination, the dangers of over-vaccination. And, you know, to pick up your point about Anthony Fauci, Elizabeth, at the moment in Missouri, the Attorney General, Eric Schmidt, is progressing a lawsuit against the FDA and CDC. And Fauci's under the microscope. He's going to have his day in court, isn't he? And it's looking like he's 83 years old, I believe. He's had many, many years, nobody questioning him. He's been allowed to free run for decade after decade. His conduct has been abysmal. He's known for abusing children in care. Evidence has been presented to court that foster children have been forced to have intravenous injections, testing these dodgy vaccines. And yet this has been kept undercover till now. And thankfully, you know, the courts are now paying attention, and eminent lawyers like the Missouri Attorney General, Eric Schmidt, he's now saying, he quoted here saying, no one's had a chance to look under the hood before. Now we do. And Anthony Fauci, he's looking like he's going to be the fall guy, isn't he?
Well, not so much about the fall guy. I mean, he's a major culprit. He's just been involved in so many things, you know, over all this length of time with no scrutiny. But we've got to look at this network. There's a network. It's a massive network. And as you know, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is at the center of this network, funding the WHO. And they were founded the Gavi Alliance, which is a major promoter of vaccine products in third world countries, developing countries. CEPI, which is the front for the vaccine industry, which has been, you know, it's the pandemic industry. There's so much to look at, and Fauci is part of this. Well, we've got to look at this whole thing of who has been influencing international vaccine policy for the last 20-odd years, and it's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. What is a software billionaire doing, having so much influence over this area of policy? During COVID, he was highly influential. He was running the race for the coronavirus vaccine. He was the one who was running it. He's had Boris Johnson at his beck and call, and leaders in Europe. People, most of the public doesn't know this stuff. If you mentioned Bill Melinda Gates Foundation in 2020, people would roll their eyes, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. It is a fact that they are exerting so much control over policy, and this must be exposed now. And they're also funding a lot of the media. They're funding the BBC, they're funding the Telegraph in the UK, they're funding the Guardian in the UK. They're funding a lot of media. So they're controlling the media, and so we're not getting transparency.
Yeah, we know on record that Bill and Melinda Gates donated £50 million to the BBC charity. And again, the BBC charity, this is meant to be a public service funded by taxpayers, and yet they're accepting what I would call a bribe from the Gates Foundation to go along with the narrative. Joe Posma, you've not said anything yet. Do you want to jump in and add something here?
Well, yeah, it is an absolute bribery is occurring. Yeah, certainly it is. On the one hand, you can say that it's all just about money making. I mean, that would be the most innocent way to look at it. But I suspect that it's a lot worse than simply making money. You know, with reference to these adjuvants, they're destroying health. It's clear how poisonous these things are. The inflammatory responses, you know, are what are causing, you know, they cause the brain to inflame. That must be what's causing the rise in autism, speech pathology in children. I'm at the point where I do not accept vaccine theory whatsoever anymore at all. And yes, Elizabeth was correct that countries are, you know, basically socially engineered through media to get everybody on board. And what a great way to guarantee income. But as I said, it's not simply that. I think that we simply have to face it. We simply have to face it. We're being poisoned on purpose in order to kill us slowly, like the frog boiling in water. The adjuvants are chemical mixtures, which make no sense, as Joe Olson was describing. They make no sense whatsoever. They're only poisons. Yeah. You don't put these into bodies. They're poisons. Right. Yeah, and that's what they want to get into you. This other stuff about the dead virus cells that's going to help you, you know, not catch the cold, that's just the front. What they want to really get into you is the adjuvants to hurt you. That's the real product that they're putting in you, right? Yeah. And how is this clear? because as you know, Elizabeth pointed out, you know, research is shut down. It's not allowed. Manufacturers are protected, for goodness sake, from the damage that it clearly causes. The media doesn't allow it to be discussed. Social media AI systems censor comments automatically for you. I mean, come on, this is an obvious. How is this not obvious that this is on purpose? And it's on purpose for what reason? Not to help anybody, because we all know that it's not helping anybody. And yes, the authorities do seem to be in on it somehow. It's hard to explain, and it's kind of hard to comprehend that this could be happening. But it seems to be. There's certainly lots of references in our media and our movies that things like this are possible. But I guess because it's in the movies, then people think, well, I saw that in a movie. They can't possibly be real life. You know, for example, like the movie They Live, say it's some sort of coordinated whatever alien or something system that's coordinating this, thinking, and you know, we're just happy humans buying the products, not realizing what's actually happening to us, you know.
I think
it's hard for the public, you know. You think about it, if you haven't been doing this for a while, I've been doing this for 14 years, so when this came out, COVID started happening, I knew it was a scam from the beginning. You know, I'm not saying there might not be an illness or whatever, but I knew it wasn't as big as they were making out, because I've seen this playbook so many times where they beat up the diseases like flu and measles and meningococcal B and what have you, where they really beat it up beyond what it is. And so, but we've got to put ourselves in place of the public, because it is really difficult to believe. Why would people think that their government and the doctors and the scientists and the media would be doing this to them? It is incredible when you think about it. And yet we know there's something deeply sinister going on, and that what is happening with these injections. I mean, because I'm in Australia, and it is just awful what has happened here. Most of the population has been jabbed, according to the government statistics, including children. At least 2 million children have been jabbed. They know that children aren't affected. And the people I'm really going for now, the people I'm really going for are the doctors. The doctors have been absolutely atrocious. This is the group of beyond all others that should have spoken up. They should have said, what's going on here? This is a mass population intervention. To do such a thing, you have to have, you know, outstanding evidence of threat, and that the intervention is going to be safe and effective. And we didn't have any of that. The doctors have a massive, massive failure, and I'm going after them now, because I'm saying you have not gotten informed consent from anybody, in my opinion. I think we're sitting on a massive powder keg. When people find out that they were not properly informed about the, you know, people were just lined up. You know, the Australian Prime Minister, it's on the video, you can see it on the internet. He actually talked about rounding up people like sheep, getting them through the gate like sheep to get them to get these injections. That's exactly that's the mentality that we're dealing with.
Joe Posma, you want to come back on that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course, Elizabeth. Those are wonderful comments. Yeah, I agree with that. It is really shocking. And I just wanted to add on, you know, you being shocked that the doctors aren't standing up, you know, in our own, on this radio show, we've talked with many other guests talking about the food supply, problems with the food supply being destroyed and just food being made, you know, basically, you know, really destructive to health. And very few people are standing up for that, you know, in the agriculture system. But then, you know, with Principia Scientific International, our big thing is with the climate fraud, the climate change fraud, alarming climate change. And yeah, it was shocking to us just how few scientists will do their due diligence and stand up and speak out against what is obvious fraud occurring, what's obvious scientific fraud occurring. And so it's just odd that we find this time and time again in so many disparate fields. As you're pointing out, the doctors on the health issue and vaccine issue, you know, in science and physics and astronomy and other places with the climate issue. It's very odd that we don't find more professionals speaking out against what really is obvious scientific fraud.
They're conflicted, aren't they? Because so many people are relying on research funding, and they're individuals in this system, and they know if they speak up, I suppose, that they're going to get shafted and get pushed out of the system, aren't they? If they rock the boat. So this is the problem. As individuals, they haven't got power, but this is so huge that people now they have to wake up and band together. It's their ethical duty to do this. Now, I don't know much about the climate change thing, because I've been so devoted to investigating the vaccine industry for years, but now this has opened my eyes to everything. And I'm thinking, just looking at COVID, they have created an industry out of thin air. I'm seeing now what's, it's just been such a shock. I'm seeing the governments are taking our money and it is being offloaded to spend on this industry that has been created out of nothing, basically. Billions being spent on the jabs, billions being spent on the, you know, testing and then surveillance. They've used this as a means to fast track surveillance, which is what they've wanted. Vaccine passports means to control us and to restrict us and lock us down whenever they wish. You know, this whole thing, the amount of money that has been spent on this and to try and quantify the damage they have caused in people's relationships with people being, you know, having different opinions on the jab or not the jab, they have caused so much damage. To quantify this alone for COVID and to think of this also happening in other areas like climate change and what have you, that being used as a means to just get money and transfer it to these powerful interests.
But that's a good point. Yeah, that's such a great point. It really seems to, on the one hand, reduce to money laundering. That these are sophisticated money laundering schemes, right? Give it a guise of something legitimate, but really you're just stealing money. You know,
but
like
it's worse than that. It's even
worse. Oh, it's worse, because they're destroying people's health. Yeah, I mean, it would be one thing if they're just stealing your money, but they're stealing their money while destroying your life, destroying your marriage, destroying your health, destroying your children. I mean, it would be one thing just to have your money stolen, but these people are like, they're going all out. They're going for society-wide, you know, total destruction of nations here, of the world, basically. Like, that's what's so psychotic about it.
But it's not just stealing the money. They're also putting us into debt. In Australia, we were in the black. Our budget was in the black in 2008. And over the past years, we've steadily been going into more and more debt. I think we're in about $1 trillion debt now. So not only have they taken our money, they're putting us into debt. And who are we being made beholden to? Yeah, think about that. How is that being used against us?
Well, and think about this debt. What is this debt? These people that we owe the debt to, they just create it on a computer. It's so psychotic, right?
Yeah.
It's not even real.
Mm. Yeah. I just want to come back to the legal point, because I made the point earlier that in Missouri, that I know the wheels of justice, they do grind very slowly. I know lawsuits have been filed since the beginning of the pandemic opposing these draconian measures, and as they say, as you said, Elizabeth, herding people like sheep into forced vaccinations. And the contempt for the legal system is unbelievable. Going back to what was said in the Missouri case here, the Attorney General was pointing out that Anthony Fauci was served legal papers and required to provide an affidavit, sworn affidavit, to interrogatory questions. And he didn't even sign it. He refused to sign it. Now, Steve Bannon, if you know who Steve Bannon is, Steve Bannon was the advisor to Donald Trump. He went to jail for that. He went to jail for refusing to sign off on legal papers. Anthony Fauci is playing fast and loose with the legal system, and it's not reported. This kind of information is not reported. A top lawyer, Philip Holloway, who reports on the case, Philip Holloway Esquire, a legal expert, he's saying Fauci is desperately wanting to avoid being put under oath. Fauci has made no statements under oath regarding his communications with social media platforms, which violates the court order. And the media platforms, obviously Google, we can call Google, we can call Facebook and so forth, Twitter and all that. These are coordinating the efforts to suppress the evidence that you're trying to present. And one of the key findings, one of the key features I find that's astonishing, is that the vaccine industry, just like the UN climate change advisors, these people are exempt from prosecution. They have legal immunity from any lawsuits. Now, if that is not a clear sign of some kind of cover-up, some avoidance of accountability, I don't know what is. And Joe Olson, you've been very patient. You know, do you want to add anything to that?
Oh, yes. Well, the emergency use authorization is illegal for the CDC or the FDA, either one, to issue if there are available therapeutics. And there was at least two that we know are highly effective. One of them is hydroxychloroquine, and the other one is ivermectin. I attended a rally in Dallas on May 9th, 2020, when Dr. Yvette Lozano said that she had given all 12 of her staff and 30 of her patients HCQ, and none of her staff got sick at all, even though they were working with patients daily, and all of her 30 patients recovered with no side effects. And this is a drug that's been on the mandatory list of medicines since the 1940s. It's absolutely absurd. And the other one is ivermectin. And ivermectin got the Nobel Prize in 2015. And here's what the winner of the prize said, Tatsushi Omura. Microorganisms do not produce useless metabolites. We just have little knowledge on their full usefulness to humans. And there's off-label use for both of these drugs. The state licensing board tried to revoke Yvette Lozano's license, and they got pushed back. They then went to the state pharmacy board and say, well, she can write all the prescriptions you want. You're not allowed to issue those drugs under off-label use. And so for a little while, they had the state licensing board on. I wrote an article about the rally in Dallas called Remember the Alamode Review. It was posted at Principia Scientific, and surprise, surprise, it was linked at the Texas AMA Journal, because apparently there was enough doctors in Texas that stood up, and they're starting to push back big time. Some of the biggest people, like McCullough, Bartlett, Fleming, are all from Texas, and I've met all of them, artists. I've met all of them at rallies. I've gone to 30 different Stop the Steal and Open Texas rallies where we're trying to overthrow the medical mafia. And Jennifer Bridges, the nurse that's suing Methodist Hospital, I know all of these people, and that we're pushing back big time. And the problem that these guys have, it's like they say in that article that John's reading from, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. We've got them in the cover-up so many ways from Sunday, it's ridiculous. And there's no way for them to be able to pull a Jeffrey Epstein and escape from jail on this one.
Yeah, yeah. And just to revisit what we said earlier about aluminum, it's well known in chemical science, aluminum does cross the brain barrier. It's insidious. The fact that it's accepted in allopathic medicine is a great concern to us. And, you know, time after time, chemical scientists, biological scientists, they've been saying that we should not be allowing any of these products to be distributed with these levels of aluminum. And it's pretty shocking. And it's a total contempt for the impact they have on the human beings. Another thing we want to point out is autism. Again, aluminum has a direct correlation with autism. And the rise in autism amongst young people is shocking. In my career as a school teacher, I saw many, many cases rising over the past 15, 20 years of students with autistic problems. And nobody's prepared to call out the correlation. You know, as you said, the schedule for vaccinations now is astonishing. Going back to my childhood, we might have had, you know, a handful of vaccinations, four, maybe five. Today, you're looking at, I believe in the US, 50 or 60 on the schedule. Now, the adjuvants, as we said, the adjuvants are possibly the real danger here. And if you are talking about population control, and we've argued on many programs already that there is definitely a issue here with the Bill Gates of this world and so forth, who are, you know, admitted they want population control. Bill Gates said, and it's on record, it's a YouTube video, it's a TED talk on video. Bill Gates said, if we do a very good job on vaccines, we can reduce the population by 15%. Now, how do you make that correlation between a health measure, vaccination, and reducing the population? I mean, do you find, Elizabeth, that people are joining the dots on this kind of thing?
Well, I think that those comments by Bill Gates can be maybe taken out of context, that he might have been meaning, you know, if you improve health conditions for people with and less disease with vaccines, that will, you know, help people won't be having so many children because they won't be worried children will die. You know, so it's complicated. I think we've just got to be really careful with what we say to make sure that whatever we say is backed up, and that things that we don't know, we ask questions. That's the approach I take with my work, asking questions, putting people on the spot and ask the questions, and be careful not to say something unless it's really, really backed up. But just to go back to what you were saying about autism, you know, the controversial area there was the measles, mumps, rubella jab when Andrew Wakefield and made a sort of, you know, suggested possibilities that it could have been associated with the MMR. And that really just came from an early report that was published in The Lancet based on 12 cases. And just for suggesting that, he was merely suggesting it was an area to look into, the wall just fell on him like a ton, you know, it was a ton of bricks that fell on top of him. And I find that from that, Andrew Wakefield was demonized, and we really had the modern rise of the anti-vaxxer demonizing term, you know, that this is being used for anybody who questions vaccines or the church of vaccination. You must not challenge the dogma, the holy writ. You're an anti-vaxxer. And this has now become, particularly in Australia, this has been really embedded in our culture. It comes up in popular programs, you know, there will be flat earthers and anti-vaxxers. It's just become a term that of derision for anybody. But what it is doing is just shutting people down, asking legitimate questions. And with this discussion about the MMR and autism, what has gone under the radar is that children are given so many vaccines with aluminium adjuvants. And particularly since 2004, when that review came out, so many more have been added to the schedule. You know, the shot at two, that Hep B is given at birth to children here, aluminium adjuvant. 2 months, they get a 6-in-1 shot, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, Hep B, HIV, and polio in the one shot, aluminium adjuvant. Pneumococcal shot, aluminium adjuvant. They get it again at 4 months. They get it again at 6 months. You know, this is just amazing. This is a tiny baby is getting these aluminium adjuvanted shots at that age. At 18 months, they get another aluminium adjuvanted diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis shot. You know, and they get it again around 4 years. Teenagers are getting the aluminium adjuvanted HPV vaccine. It's just, there's so many of these things happening, and the general public doesn't realise what is being pumped into these children.
Yeah, good point, Elizabeth. We're going to take another break now. It's TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
We all need to take a page from Indonesia and institute public caning worldwide. Maybe that will move the needle. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the moral cretins that continue to push these mRNA gene therapy injections, despite overwhelming evidence that they're not safe, they're not effective, and they're killing people. Recent study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, shows that 1 in 500 small children whose parents have abrogated their parental duty of care have been hospitalized by the gene jam. Data out of the United Kingdom, 63,000 people died between January and March of 2022 from getting the gene jab booster. It's got to end. We are way beyond. These are safe and effective, and but my doctor recommended them. Time for people to be held accountable. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Everybody's terrified of cancer, the big C. They don't want to talk about embarrassing things, so blood in their bowel motions, going more frequently, a persistent cough, losing weight. I remember a wee man who didn't come to my surgery for ages, and all he would do was apologise and say, "Oh, sorry, doctor, I know if I had come, I know you'd have got me sorted." We are not too busy. We are very, very keen to see our patients as soon as we possibly can. So please don't get scared. Get checked.
A cashless society means zero cash. 100% digital currency means your life is 100% dependent on a power surge and the internet. Every cent you receive will be recorded and every transaction tracked. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back, Elizabeth Hart. You've been giving us some useful facts, and there's more facts you've got on your websites. I believe you've got two websites, is it? I'm looking at one now. It's vaccinationispolitical.net. And on that, you've got interesting numbers. You quote quite rightly, vaccination is big business. And you said, consider the startling growth of the international vaccine market in recent years, from around 5.7 billion in 2002 to 46.88 billion in 2019, and projected to reach 104.87 billion by 2027. These are astronomical sums of money, aren't they? And you can see why there's a motive here. And the old saying is, you follow the money, don't you, to find the root of the corruption. And your website is very useful. Do you want to give us, give our listeners a bit more information about your websites?
I've got two websites, as you say, vaccinationispolitical.net. And my first website was over-vaccination.net. And that was my first one that I started off with pet vax, but it's morphed into now looking at human vaccination. And I think something really important to point out about the pet vaccines is when I started investigating that area after my dog got very ill with after these jabs, I found these guidelines that had only been recently published, which were recommending against too many vaccines for the dogs, because they were giving live vaccines to dogs and cats every year. And if we accept that the live vaccines work, you should really only need like one vaccine and you should be immune after that. But they were giving them to the dogs every year. So this was an unnecessary assault on their immune system. So looking at these guidelines, they were saying that we need to decrease vaccines or vaccination of pets to minimize the risk of adverse reaction. Now, think about that. You think of what's happening in human vaccination with vaccines going through the roof for humans, because we've got a womb to tomb schedule. It is incredible what is happening with pregnant women. It used to be you never would give pregnant women unnecessary medical interventions. They are now giving pregnant women COVID jabs, flu jabs, pertussis jabs to a pregnant woman. The baby in the womb is getting these shots from the beginning. And then the minute they're born, they're jabbed, Hep B. Then all these series of shots after that. And then throughout life now, they're setting people up to have flu jabs every year, to have COVID jabs every year. They're looking at RSV, adding that in, respiratory syncytial virus. And the older people are pushed to get pneumococcal shots, shingle shots. Come on. This is just completely out of control. And it's out of control because there's been no transparency, that we're not investigating conflicts of interest. This has all got to be investigated now. This is COVID has brought this to a head. This is now completely insane, giving people injections every few months, that people are in an experiment and they don't even realize it. They were told that the COVID jabs was going to be the answer, you know, the COVID jab. Oh, that'll be two shots. And then a few months later, oh, it's wearing off, have another one. And then a few months after that, this is complete insanity happening right in front of us. And it's how come more people aren't just completely going ballistic about this?
Yeah, it's a good point. And in previous episodes, we talked about the idea of immunity anyway. And, you know, I think that we're finding now that these so-called experts are coming out and admitting that natural immunity is as good as, if not better, than their vaccines. And the point you've made quite rightly is the more you give these jabs, the more the adjuvants go into the bodies, the more you've got effectively disruption to the immune system. And our immune systems are shot, aren't they? And the evidence is showing, especially for the COVID, so-called COVID infection, that those being hospitalized are those who've had the jab. Those who've not had the jab, they're walking around quite glad and gleeful. They didn't have anything done to them. And it's effectively the control group, the non-vaccinated ones who are rubbing their hands with glee, aren't they? They're the ones who are saying, thank God I didn't get coerced to do the wrong thing.
Yeah, well, according to the figures in Australia, there's a very, very small control group because most people have been jabbed here. This Australia, I think, is going to shape up as being one of the worst countries in the world for being jabbed under mandates. This is what is really the most shocking thing in a liberal democracy, that people have been mandated to have medical interventions. That is unbelievable. So many people have been mandated across all sorts of professions. Millions of people here would have been mandated to have the jabs. It's the most shocking thing, and that the doctors didn't challenge this. They should be getting informed. How can you get informed consent? How can you get voluntary informed consent from somebody who's under a mandate? And particularly when we look at the way they have fear-mongered and beat up this disease, when it was nothing like they were making out. This is one of the areas that I'm really interested in pursuing now, is going back to the beginning of this thing, in early 2020, and invest, when they knew at that time, that this was not going to be a problem for most people, as has turned out, it was elderly people with comorbidities. Why do you inject everybody? It's on the record that in the UK, a Lords Committee meeting in June 2020, Peter Openshaw, the Imperial College London, and Ani Akbar of another institution, they admitted during that committee that vaccines were unlikely to work in the elderly, and it was proposed to vaccinate the young people to protect the elderly. That is outrageous. That is so unethical that they even had the idea in mind. You know, so they've admitted from the get-go the vaccines were unlikely to work in the elderly. And yet, who were the first people jabbed? The elderly. This is a case of massive exploitation in that we have to challenge now. We have to say, who decided on this global vaccine response against a disease it was known wasn't a problem for most people? People had to deal with all that crazy media that was going on and beating all of this sort of stuff up. Now, even if there was a disease happening, they weren't treating it. As we know, they were not wanting to treat it because they wanted to protect the vaccine market. This whole thing has to be investigated by people who are capable of doing an independent investigation. And I don't know who we're going to rely on to do that, because their medical and scientific establishment is shot to bits. You know, that trust in those is completely gone now. How can we ever trust these people again with what they've allowed to happen? It's outrageous. But that is the big thing to go back to now. They built this whole crisis on PCR testing. This is what seems to have been, you know, built on. And that's what we've got to challenge all of this now and blow it out of the water. Because I can tell you, I'm livid about it.
Yeah. And again, we do like to trumpet the importance of natural immunity on our show. And we've had people come on the show and just discussing the idea of terrain theory. And you know, when you've got a good immune system on our show, and we've had people come on the show and just discussing the idea of terrain theory. And you know, when you've got a good immune system, your likelihood of becoming infected is very, very low. And we published on Principia Scientific International last February a lovely article, Natural Immunity for the Win Yet Again, where the American Medical Association actually came out and admitted that in a new report that people with natural immunity who boost their natural immunity, they have a very good recovery rate from these so-called COVID infections. And they looked at the levels of elevated spike proteins. And again, they were finding very good results with those people with a good, healthy immune system. Those people who were taking supplements like zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D, and so forth, these people were using the prophylactic effect. And nobody talks about prophylactics. I mean, Joe Olson, you mentioned ivermectin and HCQ. These are verifiable, medically approved, World Health Organization medicine safety approved. And they were suppressed, weren't they, Joe Olson? They were really hidden away from public sight.
Yes. And when I found out that we were going to have Elizabeth on as a guest, and she is from Australia, it reminded me of an article that was published at WorldNet Daily in 2015 by Dr. Lee Habib, H-I-E-B, who was former president of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. And the title of her article is How Vaccine Hysteria Could Spark a Totalitarian Nightmare. And I sent it to John. We posted it at Principia Scientific. But a lot of the data is based on outbreaks that they had from fully vaccinated children in Australia repeatedly. And it's absolutely absurd to think that you're getting this partial protection, if anything at all, when we were raised, everybody went to chickenpox, measles, and mumps parties as a kid, and you never got those again because natural immunity is a lifetime immunity. Whatever immunity you're getting from these jabs is a temporary, and then a lot of times you end up getting a worse case of it. They've got cases of U.S. Navy vessels being quarantined at sea for 90 days because of outbreaks in fully jabbed crews.
But you think now what they're doing, they're jabbing children, blatantly jabbing children against a disease which isn't a problem for them. That is unbelievable. That is so blatant. You're not at risk of disease. We're going to give you a jab and you might be set up for life to get these injections forever. And you don't know what it's doing to your immune system, to your naturally effective immune response. And they give, how this is happening, I cannot believe it. It is.
Well, that's such a great point, Elizabeth. I think that goes back to the point I made earlier. The actual delivery package that they're sending is not the thing to protect us from whatever the disease is, the cold or the flu or COVID. It's this other thing. As you pointed out, the number of injections that children are getting now, you know, 50 to 70, however high it is, it's, you know, dozens and dozens, and each one for a different virus, supposedly, yet each one of those vaccines has those same adjuvants. So what they're actually being pumped full of is the adjuvants. So it seems like that's what the actual delivery package is that they want to get into us. And then, you know, as
we have to unpick this and challenge them And to just go back to that natural immunity thing, if you've got time, just to quickly mention this. In the UK, on the 13th of March, around the 13th, 12th of March, 2020, they had announced in the UK that they were just going to deal with this naturally, you know, let it spread through the community, build up natural immunity. That was on at that date. On the 16th of March, Neil Ferguson's Report 9 from Imperial College London was published. And that report compared COVID with the 1918 flu pandemic, made that comparison when that was supposed to be 50 or 100 million deaths, and then suggested that, or argued that, they needed to put in a suppression strategy to suppress the virus until a vaccine becomes available. Wow. And you know what? Do you know what wasn't disclosed in that report? That Ferguson is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You know, that might have been very useful to have been on that report at that time, that we could have seen, oh, there could be a conflict of interest there in that, that they wanting to suppress society. And do you know what else? On the 19th of March in the UK, Public Health England put out a notice saying that COVID had been reduced from a high consequence infectious disease because of low mortality overall. What's going on here? This is why we've got to go back now and review what happened, because it's a massive scandal and look at the damage it's caused in the world.
Thank you, Elizabeth Hart. It's wonderful having you on the show. We've had an hour with you. It's obviously an hour was not long enough, but thank you for joining us. This is Sky Dragon Slaying TNT Radio Live.